1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's continue our study expositionally through this wonderful passage in the Word of God. Paul is dealing with this church and God is dealing with us, and I trust that we have all ears and hearts open to what God says. Let's pick up where we left off, if we could, at verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Let the church say amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather around your word tonight. I pray, God, that as your vessel, you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the truth of the word of God. And help us to know it, because by knowing the truth, it will make us free. Bless now the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're dealing with this church that had a problem. It was in the world, but the problem was that the world was in them. The symptoms of that problem manifested themselves in the first four chapters through senseless divisions in the church. They were divided not because they were different personalities, not because there was diversity. They were divided because they were worldly. They were not united on the truth, and it caused divisions. The second section, where chapter 5 begins, deals with stipulated discipline in the church. Chapter 5 dealt with moral matters, and chapter 6 is going to deal with material matters. Now, we're going to get to the end of chapter number 6, and he's going to deal with some of these matters by way of moral again. He's going to go back to fornication and address it again. But again, these are discipline issues. These are things in the church that need to be dealt with. Now, let's be honest with ourselves and be reminded tonight that anytime you deal with something that involves human beings, you're going to deal with fault and error. So we don't expect any church to be perfect. But God says, even though you are imperfect, that doesn't mean you should do nothing about it. You've got to deal with it. And sometimes we don't like to deal with sin. We like to let it go and avoid it. And this is what happened in Corinth, and it posed a myriad of problems. We saw this resounding alarm. Dare any of you? They were taking each other to court, and Paul heard about it. My soul. Their reproachful actions. They couldn't find somebody that was saved among them to help them settle these issues. They had to go to unbelievers to fix their Christian problems. My, 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 this made no sense. And then last week we dealt with rehearsed absolutes. He had to take them back and remind them of some things about them, some things that God had done, some things about salvation that are absolute, that will never change. And by the way, they were absolute, meaning they were true when Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and they are true today concerning the Crossroads Baptist Church. Absolutes do not change. The point of the interrogation, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's an absolute. You will not go to heaven if you're not righteous. You will not go to heaven if you're not saved, and you will not be righteous if you're not saved. Listen to me now. These are absolutes. And then the plain instruction, be not deceived. And he lists all of those sinners and those habitual sins that were characteristic of unregenerate sinners. And he spoke about those things. He spoke about fornication, sex outside of marriage, and idolatry, which putting anything in front of God is absolutely wrong. And fornicators and adulterers, anybody that steps outside of his marriage or her marriage, effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, including the sins of homosexuality and lesbianism and the things that the world condones, and thieves that steal and covetous that want something that doesn't belong to them. Excuse me. Drunkards that misuse alcohol. Not alcoholics, drunkards, the Bible calls them. Revilers, those that just absolutely lose their temper and they lash back and they demean and slander. Extortioners, those that steal. These are lost folks. Not every single person that does these things is lost. But what he's simply saying is a life that cannot get victory over these things, a sinful life, a habitual practice of sin, is an indication of being lost. And no man can get victory over sin except through Jesus Christ. These folks shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Lost people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He went from the point of interrogation to the plain instruction to the personal information, and such were some of you. Your past situation, you were. Your present status, you are washed, sanctified, and justified. And the powerful source is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that you used to be one way, but you're not anymore? Why was Paul dealing with these absolutes? Because when we move away from absolutes, all of a sudden, our actions become relevant to how we feel, relevant to what others are doing. Why were saved people marching to a worldly beat? Because they had forgotten the absolutes of the word. Listen to me. When you begin to adjust to the world, you have moved away from the absolutes of the word. You might want to write that down. The adjustment to the world is a neglect of the absolutes of the word. Child of God, if you are embracing worldliness, you've forgotten what the word says about you. You are washed, sanctified, and justified. Act like you are and not like you were. Tonight, I want you to write down our next point, number four, and I want you to write down a responsible approach. A responsible approach. And here's an alternative you can put down too, is what I have in my notes, responsible appropriateness. A responsible approach or responsible appropriateness. What is the responsible way of approaching things, especially since Corinth was not doing that? Look down at verse number 12 if you find your place in your Bible. All things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful for me. You notice those two phrases in verse 12? All things are lawful unto me. He says something else after that. But after that, he says, all things are lawful for me. Here's what I call subjective rights. Now, Paul was not saying that anything is okay to do. But here's what he's saying. I've got freedom. I've got liberty. I've got what I call here subjective rights. Listen, there's nothing in my life that I'm not allowed to do. I can do anything I want to do. All things are lawful. And it seems in that day, that was the motto of those folks. Those Corinthians and those in Corinth just went around, we can do whatever we want to do. Paul said, okay, we'll speak your language. You're right. Anything I want to do, I can do. Subjective rights. But then notice what he says about spiritual reasoning. But not all of them are expedient. Are you listening now? I may have rights, but on top of those rights, I've got a reasoning. My subjective rights are whatever I want to do. But my spiritual reasoning is I'll live by a higher standard. I'll not just do what I can do. I'll do what is expedient for me to do. Watch this now. Just because I'm allowed to do it doesn't mean it is in the best interest. It is in the profitable interest of others to do it. Are you listening to me? Just because I can doesn't mean I should. And remember, they're taking each other to court. Sure, you got legal rights to go to court, but is it profitable for other people? And I would encourage you as believers, if you're going to live with a responsible approach, if you're going to be a child of God that lives according to appropriateness, quit talking about what you can do. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. I got my rights. I can do it. Nobody can tell me what. Let me tell you something. If that's how you're going to live as a Christian, don't expect to be responsible and don't expect to be appropriate, because there's a lot that's legal that doesn't mean it's what the Lord wants you to do. The reasonable, if you would, the responsible approach or appropriateness involves subjective rights and spiritual reasoning. Now watch this now, this sure resolution that Paul says. Even though they're lawful for me, I will not be brought under the power of any. Now this is interesting. I've got liberty to do what I want to do, but I've got enough spirituality about me to put away even things that I want to do because they're not beneficial to other people. In other words, I'm not going to hurt other people's spirituality and their growth just to live out my own freedoms. Here's what he's saying. When I do utilize my liberties in a selfish way, the same things that are supposed to liberate me are actually putting me in bondage. I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I'm not going to be so free in my Christian life that my freedom causes me to be enchained. Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you're free to drink if you want to. You're free to smoke if you want to. You're free to party if you want to. You're free to cuss if you want to. You're grown, right? I mean, in Christ, nothing you do can cause you to lose your salvation. But watch this now. You can be so free in living that way that those very things that you are liberated and allowed to do have now put you in bondage. But go ahead and be free to drink. And that drinking will destroy you and give you cirrhosis of the liver and will cause you to do some things by way of anger and with relationships that you regret. Go ahead and smoke and mess up your lungs and destroy your body that God has given you to serve. Go ahead and cuss and party. Go ahead. You free. Click on whatever you want to click on. And yet that freedom that you utilize to click on what you click on will have you in the bondage of losing your marriage. Here's what Paul said. I will not allow my liberties put me in bondage. Does that make you think? These Christian people that say, this was these Corinthians. Well, we can take each other to court because this is our stuff. We can do what we want to do. And we can use our bodies. They're our bodies and nobody's going to tell me. Listen, if you're a Christian and starting to talk like that, nobody can tell me what to do. Be careful. You'll be running so far into liberty, you'll slam into bondage. I will not be brought under the power of any. In the next verse, verse number 13, he makes what I call some simple remarks. First of all, some simple remarks about physical design. Meat's for the belly and belly for meat. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, this is pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, if you got meat, meat's meant for your belly. We're talking about a stomach. I mean, food goes in the stomach and the stomach is for food. Somebody say amen right there. Especially the men right now are saying the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's why over the years on Mother's Day, we handed out flowers and gifts. And on Father's Day, we handed out cookies. Some of you ladies saying, why can't we get cookies? We know y'all like cookies, but I tell you, men love food. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat. He's making an analogy here. Here are some simple remarks about physical design. This is the way the body works. Body for food, food for the body. But there's also a prospective destruction. There's coming a day God's going to destroy both of them. There's coming a day when our bodies are going to be no more like they are today. And our need for food is going to be no more like it is today. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? These are temporary things right now. The body for food, food for the body. And he's making a comparison here. And I'm going somewhere. He makes some simple remarks about the body for food and food for the body. Yeah, we understand that. That's the way life works. But wait a minute now. Don't you start taking the way food is for the body to try to say now sex is for the body too outside of marriage. Don't you go, Corinthians, trying to say, well, my body needs food, so since it needs food, I eat it. And since my body has a desire for immorality, and since it has that desire, I'll just engage in it. Wait a minute. Stop comparing food and the body with fornication and the body. There are some simple remarks, but there's also some sanctified restrictions. What are you saying, Paul? Body's for meat, meat's for the body. But God's going to end that. Come today, we're going to get out of this human body. We're going to get a glorified body. The way things are right now, they're not going to be forever. And I'm glad about it, especially at times like this. However, notice what he said. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Yeah. You need food to keep the body strong, right? Absolutely. And food is there so the body can eat it and be strong. But your body was never created to be involved in immorality. Your body was never created to be involved in sex outside of marriage. God has reserved that for the confines of his institution and the home. And when the body steps outside of the confines of Almighty God, it steps outside of God's blessing, outside of God's design, outside of the umbrella of God's protection. Let me tell you something, what the world has done. And by the way, this is one of the key indications of worldliness, to take something that God has given and use it for the wrong purpose. That's why scandals and pornography and this industry out in the world, and we see our young people attacked with these innuendos that happen even through cartoons and ideology in the world, which takes the handcuff sex and manipulate it and use it for a wrong way, and it becomes so gory and so dark and so sneaky and so mischievous and so undercover. Why? Because it's being done outside of the confines of Almighty God's design. Can I tell you, there are sanctified restrictions. Your body belongs to Almighty God. Watch this now. You have a purposed body. Your body is not for fornication. It is for the Lord. And you are a possessed belonging. You don't belong to yourself. Your body is for the Spirit of God. Your body is for Almighty God. Your body is to be used for God's glory. And the Lord is for the body. Listen to me. Food for the belly and the belly for meat. But sanctification says fornication is not for the body and the body is not for fornication. I know what you're thinking, but why do I have these passions? Why do I have these desires? Why do I have these thoughts? I tell you, because you have a flesh. But when you got saved, you got the Spirit of God to live inside of you. And God said, the way that meat is for the body and the body is for meat, let me give you another equation. The body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. I'm glad that the most comfortable I ever feel as a child of God is when I use what he has given me for him and I use him for me. May God help us as Christians to quit using our bodies for the world stuff and start using our bodies for the word stuff. Our bodies are for the Lord and the Lord is for our bodies. The supernatural resurrection, we're winding down. God had both raised up the Lord. Will also raise us up by his own power. Wow. The finished event. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. My soul. After he'd been beaten, bruised, belittled, and brutalized. Aren't you glad up from the grave he rose? What power? What power? And one day God's going to raise us up. Listen to me. One day we're getting up out of here. In Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll get to it. When we get to the end of this letter, it's going to tell us this mortal shall put on immortality and this corruption shall put on incorruption. Then shall the same be brought to life. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Aren't you glad, my friend? The thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's, listen to me. If he raised up Jesus, he's going to raise us up. Here's what he's saying, beloved. Start looking up to what you're going to be. Remember the absolutes? Here's what you were. Here's what you are. And here's what you're going to be. Now, what, listen to me, believer. If this is what you used to be, that's terrible. If this is what you are, my soul, that's wonderful. If this is what you're going to be one day, just like Jesus, then why in the world would you let your body be yielded to sin? God help us. These areas need to be disciplined because God's design does not allow for them. Supernatural resurrection. I don't know about you. I'm looking for the day. I'm looking forward to the day this body's going to be raised up. By the way, those who have died in Christ and their souls are in heaven with God right now. One day that body's going to be raised back up. Are you listening to me now? And that body, listen, you're going to have a body when you get to heaven, but it ain't going to be like this. I guarantee you one thing, there'll be no pandemics in heaven. Somebody say amen. I guarantee you one thing, there'll be no need for vitamins in heaven. There'll be no need for holistic medicine in heaven. There'll be no need for insulin in heaven. There'll be no need for dialysis in heaven. There'll be no need for pacemakers in heaven. There'll be no need for doctors and hospitals in heaven. There'll be no need for vaccinations in heaven. There'll be no need for taking any kinds of prescriptions in heaven. There'll be no need for pharmacies in heaven. There'll be no need for drugstores in heaven. There'll be no need for nurses in heaven. There'll be no need for psychology and psychiatry in heaven, because when God raises up that body is going to be a glorified body. By the way, it will not be tempted to sin. It will not be drawn away to lust. It will not be desirous of anything vain or anything wrong. Listen to me, beloved. This is what God is going to do for us. You say, well, I can't imagine how that's going to happen. You look back to what he did with his son when he raised him from the dead, and you be assured, beloved, one day he's going to raise us up. Listen to me. All things are lawful, Paul said. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do whatever you want to do, Christian. That's worldly talk. Christian people don't live based on doing what they want to do. They live based on doing what is best. And by the way, Paul talked in other passages about meats and those that were eating meats that were offered to idols. And he spoke about that liberty. Romans chapter 14 is one of those passages where he said, you can eat any kind of meat you want to. The problem was they were eating meat that was offered to idols, and there were weak Christians that were watching that, and they were stumbling because they said, well, you're a Christian and that meat is offered to idols. Why are you eating? And Paul said, I'm willing to restrict my liberties even though I have a right to have them, because I would rather not do something I'm allowed to do if it's going to hurt somebody. Shame, shame. But he said, when it comes to fornication, no. This is not a subjective right. This is absolutely wrong. And he wanted to make sure that Christians didn't take their spiritual liberties and bring them into areas that God made very clear were off limits. Okay? And this is what I find out about a lot of Christians nowadays. Well, since I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I can't lose my salvation. I can do whatever I want to do, and I got liberty in Christ. I got liberty in Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, you think that means you can go to have liberty to violate the Bible? You can go anywhere you want to go, wear anything you want to wear, say anything you want to say, do anything you want to do. My, so liberty was never a license for you to flash it every time you mess up and go, oh, hello, Mr. Spiritual Cop. I'm speeding, but I got a liberty license, so you can't give me a ticket. Liberty was never given as a free pass to disobey the Bible. Liberty was given as a free opportunity to live for God. How are you using your liberty, believer? And such were some of you. But you're washed, sanctified, and justified. It's about time we start living in a responsible approach that shows we're appropriate in our lives as believers. Because one day, we're going to be raised up out of here. And if that's going to happen one day, we need to start living for Him today. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it and use it. And help us as believers to be careful. Be careful that we're not caught up in worldliness and misusing liberty is a license to sin. Help us not to make unequal comparisons, because God expects us to be like we are and not like we were. We love you and we thank you for being God. Give us a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.